you got the church app, you can open up the sermon notes there, and you'll see a message that says, "Stop at the crossroads," and that's where we'll be at this morning. Now, if you don't have the church app, but you got a Bible, I hope you do, take it and open up to Jeremiah chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Now, this scripture that we're looking at in Jeremiah chapter 6 has one central theme, and that is that the people of Israel, specifically in Jerusalem, Judea, they have made some bad decisions. They have gone in a direction that is sinful and in rebellion against God. But in verse 16, which is the only verse we're going to look at this morning, is where Jeremiah the prophet is telling them that the Lord says, stop at the crossroads. And the Lord is letting them know that you're at a point that you need to make a decision in the direction you're going. You're at a crossroads in your life, and you need to make the decision whether you're going to follow the path that I have for you or whether you're going to choose your own path. The children of Israel were sadly known to many times. They would look around at what the other nations were doing, and they would start seeing the activities, and they would start taking up some of those activities, and it would lead them down a sinful path. And many times the Lord had to get their attention to try to draw them back. And at this particular time, he is bringing a point of he's taken all that he can take off of them, and he's decided he's going to bring judgment on them. And Jeremiah says, the Lord says, stop at the crossroads. Stop at the crossroads and look around. You and I will experience a lot of times in our life, we come to crossroads in our life where we got to make decisions, decide what direction we're going to go, what we're going to do with our life, and the path that lays ahead of us. And these scriptures, I think, tells us very clearly how to make the best decision. If I could tell you this morning, I have a 100% proof method for you to always make the right decision, then probably every one of you would write it down, put it in your phone. You would want to say, all right, that's kind of like having a magic genie that I always make the right decision, that I'll invest some money in the stock market and I'll make the right decision for the right time. I'll make the right decision for the work that I'm doing. I'll make the right decision for the person I'm going to marry. I'll make the right decision for the car I buy, the house I build. I'm going to make the right decision and everything. So you would put that down. Now, because of so many different personalities and uncertainty of where people are, even if I tell you this morning that if you always seek the Lord, you'll make the right decision, there's a lot of factors that a human nature puts in there that can kind of get us a little bit distorted and out of focus of exactly what God is wanting us to do. But I can tell you that this scripture in verse 16 is the most exact way of trying to make sure you always make the right decision, that you're doing what God has already planned out and placed for the path in your life. And so I want us to look at this, and I want you to take in consideration that as we read this one verse, the very end of the verse, after the Lord says, stop at the crossroads, and he tells him what to do, at the end of that verse, he says, but you reply, no, we don't want to go that way. And that's the problem with a lot of times, whether we verbally speak that out or whether we just make decisions of things that we feel like are a little more interesting for us, we a lot of times, God will give us direction and we say, no, that's not the way I want to go. I've got different thoughts in my mind. And that's where the children of Israel were, and the judgment of God was about to come on them. So let's look at this together in Jeremiah chapter 6. And in this verse 16, I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation because the wording of it is very easy for us to flow and see what God is exactly saying to them. And in this scripture, as you look at it with me, I want you to think about your own personal life and where you are in maybe some crossroads that you're experiencing, and whether you're at a point that maybe you're about to make the right decision, or maybe you're about to make the wrong decision. And do you need to apply some of these things to your life? Maybe you're at a point that there's some things coming up and you're a little uncertain about stuff. Maybe there's some things here that God has for you to apply to your life. But I know that these particular things that are said in this verse can totally transform a person's direction in life. So listen to what it says. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. And then at the end of that verse is that sad part for the people of Israel. They said, but you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Let's pray about that. Lord, we come to you today, and Lord, we come to you just asking, Lord, that in our decisions and directions in life, God, that you would lead our path and help us to make the right decisions. And Lord, it's so easy to read this verse and to see so clearly how we can make the right decisions. And yet sometimes our emotions, our thoughts, our desires, temptations of the devil, sometimes throw in factors that can cause us to get on the wrong path. But Lord, I pray that you would just utilize these scriptures this morning to help some folks. If they're in the midst of making a decision, they'll make the right decision. If there's something that's coming into their path, Lord, that they would make that decision as they come to it. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise and honor and glory for all that you do. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. You know, when I was thinking about making decisions, I don't know if you've ever done this, but maybe you've come to a point in your life and maybe there's pressure on you, or maybe you're just wanting to move on and you make a hasty decision. Has anybody in here ever made a hasty decision and then look back and say, that was a bad decision? Anybody besides me? Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't the only person in here. A lot of times we make hasty decisions, and the sad thing is that we live in a world today that kind of ingrains that within us, because we live in a fast-paced, quick decision-making world. When you get up in the morning, and if you want some coffee, you can get some instant coffee and have it quick and ready to go. And you go through your day, and maybe you come to the end of the day, and maybe you're like Kenneth Cox, and you got to always have some popcorn before you go to bed. There's microwave popcorn, and you can just get you some popcorn, and you're ready to wind down the day. It may be that you're going through the day and you're traveling, and maybe you just kind of get a taste for a snack of some kind, and you'll see a quick mart of some place that you can quickly move in, grab whatever you want, go back on the path. You may be working in the corporate world, and maybe you want to climb the ladder of success, and maybe you find out that there is a corporate fast pace that you could get plugged into that would help you move along in your plans within the corporation that you're working on. So no matter what you're looking at in life, whether it's a snack or something to kind of get you revved up or being able to move forward in success in your career, there's always that mentality that's out there of a fast pace, quick, instant, microwavable that we can grab hold of. And because of that, sometimes we make hasty decisions. We don't really think about, we don't plan ahead. I had heard about a pastor and his wife that had decided that they were going to have the deacons and their wives over. They were new to the church, and they thought this would be a great way to connect. When the pastor was talking to his wife about it, she was like, oh, I don't know. It's, you know, be a lot of people to feed, and I don't know if I'm really ready for this. And he talked to her, and she finally decided, okay, we'll do it. And so they do it, and she fixed the meal, and they have everybody over, and they sit down, and she's thinking, okay, this will kind of make everybody really feel good. I'll get my little girl to say the blessing on the food. And so she looks over to her little girl and says, sweetheart, would you bless the food for us? And the little girl is in shock, and she's looking at her mom, and she says, she looks at all the people sitting there, and she says, Mom, I'm not sure what to say. She says, well, sweetheart, it's okay. Just relax and just say what you've heard Mommy say. She bows her head and says, dear Lord, why in the world did I agree to feed all these people today? Some of them I don't even like. Amen. She didn't think through her decision to ask her little daughter in. So if you ever have that idea, you might want to cross that one out and think of something else. But when we look at these scriptures, the Lord is giving us some directions about how to slow down and make the right decision. And here's one of the things that I would encourage you to do from God's word about making decisions when you come to crossroads in your life, and that is stop and look around. Stop and look around. Now, that seems like a very simplistic statement, but if you read into it, you'll see that there's a lot more that the Lord is saying. Now, if you were to today, if I told you, and a matter of fact, many of y'all were here yesterday and helped do some cleaning up and sprucing up and trimming some bushes and putting out some pine straw and different things to start getting things looking a little more spruced up for Easter. And we deeply appreciate everybody that did that. And I hope that even though it was raining, that some of you, when you came in, maybe you noticed a few things. But if you didn't, you might go out and think, okay, when I go out today, I needed to kind of stop and look around and see if I see any work that they did. So you might just walk out on the porch and stop before you get out in the rain, and you kind of look around and see if you could see anything that's been done. And you'll be where a kind of a quick glimpse to see if you see anything. And hopefully you would see some things. But when this scripture says stop and look around, there's two things that have a heavy emphasis in the Hebrew language. The word stop meant don't take another step. Stop right where you are. Don't move. And when it says look around, the word that was used in the Hebrew language meant examine closely. So when the Lord says stop and look around, it's not like, okay, I'm going to pause on the porch and take a glimpse before I run to my car. But it means I'm going to become motionless and I'm going to examine everything. I'm going to look at the details of all that's around me. When the Lord was speaking to the children of Israel for them to stop and look around, in their Hebrew language, they meant, don't make a move, look around with very detailed examination of all that's around you. When you leave here today and you go out to the main road, everybody's going to either turn left or right. And if you travel very far down the road, you're going to come to a crossroad. You're going to come to a stop sign. You're going to come to a red light. You go down south here, you may come to an intersection where you can take a veer to the right. And as you do that, if there's a red light or a stop sign, you're supposed to come to a complete. That's very good. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand, but probably some of you will slow down and roll on through. Because you looked around and there wasn't anything coming in the other direction. And so it was safe. The Lord don't want you to stop a little bit and ease on through, but He's saying stop completely. Make sure there's no danger in the direction that you're going. And when the Lord says stop and look around, it's a reminder to us that we need to make sure that we are even going in the direction originally that we're supposed to. You know, there are some times in life that you may just take off in a direction and you think this sounds good or this is something that you want to do and you take off. But when you come to a crossroad and if you examine everything, you may come to realize you need to turn around and go back to where you came from. I want you to pause and think for that a minute. Have you ever been going in a direction and you had to pause and just turn around and go back? Joyce and I, sometimes when we're traveling to kids' ball games or to see our granddaughter in plays or one swim and stuff, we'll go off to different places we haven't been before, and Joyce will always pull out the Waze app, turn on that GPS, and we'll start moving along. And there have been times that we're talking and we're driving, you know, and there's like 100 different directions you can go, and I'm going down the road, and all of a sudden I'll hear, turn around and go back. And when I hear turn around and go back, I'm thinking, oh, no, I've missed the road. GPS is recognizing I'm headed down the wrong path and I need to go back. Sometimes God's positioning system for us tells us we need to go back. It may be that you got tempted by the devil, or it might be that you just jumped on something that was alluring and there's a trap ahead for you or there's disaster ahead, and God is saying you need to look back at where you came from and go back. It's a time that we need to look and say, okay, am I spiritually closer to God right now than I was yesterday or last week or last month or last year? And if I'm moving in a direction that I'm not getting closer to God and where God wants me to be, it may be that I'm at a point in my life I need to turn around and go back so I can get better positioned to what God wants me to do. As you're traveling also, sometimes the GPS will tell you to turn left or to turn right. Sometimes you may not have GPS. You're just going along and you see you got a forward, a left, or a right, and you may make a decision. But is that decision something that you truly know you're going in the right direction? When the Lord says stop and look around, He's saying, don't just look at the surface of things, but look at it in detail. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. That expression of don't depend on your own understanding means don't just go on your own emotions. Don't just go on your own feelings at that moment. Don't just go on something that kind of on the surface looks good. But trust in the Lord, and he goes on to tell us, seek his will. Sometimes we need to stop and look around with a lot of detail. The next thing that the Lord tells us in this verse is an expression to carefully consider your options. When you come to the crossroads, not only stop and look around, but he says, when you come to it, stop and look around and ask for the old godly way. Now, those folks who are like 65 or older like me say the old godly way, you might think of I think it was a radio that used to play music that was the old gospel channel, the old gospel road. And so for those of us who are older, that sounds good. But if you're younger and you hear old, that was just enough. It dropped you right there, didn't it? Old godly way, and you done turned it off. Old, man, we're not into, that's old stuff. That's out of date. That's not relevant to me and my world today. I need some new stuff. I need some relevant stuff. But you got to understand that the wording that they used that translated that word old was actually a word that meant something that goes from the past to the present to the future. So even though we would read that and it says the old godly way, and the word godly there meant the godly, desirable, pleasant path, when it says that, if we put it in today's term, it would be saying, and ask for the plan that God already had for your life and that he has for you right now and that is perfectly planned out for you for the future. It's not like for something that's old and out of date, but it's something that God has already, before the day you were born, put in place for you. If I put it into today's terms for me, I was born in 1959, and so that verse would be saying, ask for the old way that God set for you before you were ever born into this world, Brett, and that path that he has for you right now that's never changed, and that same path that has got the best plan for your life for the future. When it's asked for the old godly way, it's not something that's out of date or old-fashioned, but it's something that God has already laid out for you that is the best plan for your life, the best direction. And God knows every crossroad that I'm going to come to. Maddox just got baptized. Maddox, God already has it all planned out. He knows every crossroad you're going to go to. I think Danny announced a while ago that Coy Jones asked Juliana Taylor to marry him, and God already had that all planned out. I asked Coy earlier, I said, you do know this is the right thing, right? You know, you got peace about this. He said, of course, Juliana was sitting there beside him, and he was in front of the whole congregation, so he was in a tight spot there. But hopefully he has done all that. And so he knows that this is the plan that God had for him. And so whether it's getting married, whether it's buying a vehicle, whether it's your career path for your life, God already has it all planned out. He knows what's best for you. And you might think, wait a minute, maybe I don't want what God wants. Well, that's exactly what the children of Israel said. No, we don't want it that way. And you see what happened to them. God's judgment came on their life. And I'm not saying that every time that you make a decision that goes against God's way that God's going to bring judgment on you. But I am saying you're going to miss out on what God has best for you. And you know, God, it's not like God in his plan, as we carefully consider our options, it's not like God doesn't want you to do things that you enjoy. Matter of fact, if we were to take a survey in this congregation, if I said, okay, what do you really enjoy to do? I could ask Maddox right now, but I could already know the answer. If I said, Maddox, what do you enjoy doing? It'd be basketball, right? He loves to play basketball. I could ask some people in our church, what's something you love to do? And I would know it. They love to play golf. There's some people I could say, what do you love to do? And I know they love to shop. They're one of those shop till you drop, empty the bank account type people. Some of you are smiling too big. There are some people that they love to play golf. There's others who love to play softball, some who love to hunt. Everybody has different things that they love to do, whether it's sports related or whether it's something investing your time and energy in some type of craft or hobby. We all have different things. And it's not like God says, okay, I don't want you to do anything you like. But what God does say is, be careful you don't start liking something that's going to be harmful for you, because I've got a good plan for your life. And so there's nothing wrong with enjoying golf, nothing wrong with enjoying basketball, nothing wrong with enjoying gymnastics, nothing wrong with going shopping. Might not be too good to empty the bank account, but nothing wrong with those things. But we got to make sure that we're following the path that God has for us. And when we come to the crossroads, we carefully consider our options. In that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the last verse 6 says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. When you seek the Lord, he will show you the path. He will give you that assurance. And when it comes to seeking the Lord's guidance, sometimes people think, well, it's only the really big things that you need to seek God's guidance. I have learned that the more you scale it back to the smaller things, the more consistent you'll be in the bigger things in life. Does that make sense? You know what happens? You create a habit. I have an aunt that she probably was a little bit overboard. That she talked about that when she got up in the morning and she goes to get in her car to go somewhere, she prays that God will help the car to crank. And she'll pray that she has a safe travel. And she prays this and prays that. And that's good. She may be a little bit overboard on that. But I am saying that in making decisions in your life, I have early on in my adult life, when I was going to buy a car, I would ask God to guide me to the right vehicle. Now, you could say, just go buy a car that runs good, looks good, and will do the job, and everything will be fine. But I have found, and God has confirmed it to me in many different ways, that he will lead you to the right one that will save you from a lemon, save you from transmission changeouts and overhauls to engines and a lot of other things. I remember I learned this early on, in a way that I said, I was going to buy a vehicle and I was praying. And I said, Lord, okay, I need another vehicle. I need a good deal. And as I was praying and talking to him about it, he began to put on my heart that I need to have a certain amount of money that I was going to spend. And I think it was like $8,000. And so I was praying about it and I said, okay, I'm going to look for a vehicle that's $8,000. And I don't know if you've ever heard this expression before about somebody buying a vehicle that has low mileage, that little old lady just drove back and forth to church. Any of y'all ever heard that expression before? That came to my mind when I was praying, and so I was thinking about that, $8,000 and this little old lady that just drives the vehicle back and forth to church. And so I'd gone to look at some vehicles, hadn't found anything. A guy that had a dealership that was trying to help me, he was showing me different vehicles. He said, I think this would be good for you. And I said, well, how much is it? And he'd say, it's $9,000. Nope, I can't buy that. I prayed about it, $8,000, so I'm going, And so we looked at different ones and nothing was working out. And he called me one day, I think it was about 2 or 3 days later. He said, hey, I got this good swap out on this vehicle. I think this might be good for you. I said, how much is it? He said, $8,000. And he said, it's got really low mileage. So we got it from this little old lady, and she just drove it back and forth to work. I said, back and forth to church, but that sounds good. I bought that. It was a great vehicle. Didn't have problems with it. It was at the price I said. And just because I had that thought in my mind of a little old lady driving back and forth to church, God just kind of confirmed that to me, that he will lead you in making even just decisions that seem to be everyday decisions. Stop and look around. Examine it carefully. Consider your options. See what God has in store for you. And the last thing that I think this verse tells us is take God's path of peace for your soul. When you're making decisions, and I have been where I've been making a decision in my life before, and I'm a little bit uncertain about it. And I have sometimes think, it kind of seems good. I'm not sure about this. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go for it. And most of the time, that didn't turn out so good. I have learned that when it comes to feeling a peace and assurance that God is with you, that's when the right decisions are. When we look at these scriptures, it tells us in this, and I want to read the very end of this verse again. It says, travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. The word that was translated rest was also sometimes translated as peace and assurance. It's saying here that when you find the path that God has for you, it will bring about a peace and assurance all the way deep down in your soul that you're going in the right direction. And I have found that the times that I'm making decisions and when I'm seeking God and I just have that peace deep down in my soul, it works out for the good. So if I could give you three things in making the right decisions when you come to crossroads in your life, it would be stop. Just come to a complete stop and look around carefully. Look at all the options that are laid out for you. Don't just examine things on the surface by emotions or feelings or what happened yesterday, but look at everything with detail. And then carefully consider the options that God has for you. What is He laying out for your life? What has He already had planned? What are you at that moment part of that plan? And what will the future be? Carefully consider your options and make sure you're on God's path. And then take that path that gives you peace to your soul. Make sure it's peace between you and God. I had a person one time that told me that they had a peace about divorcing their spouse. Their spouse had not done anything as far as marital infidelity, had not done anything. They just had, the person had got on the wrong track, got involved in an affair, and then they said that they had peace about divorcing. Now, I'm guessing from what I told you, you can understand what the peace was. That's what they wanted. And I told them, I said, you know, there's peace with God, but then sometimes the devil just make you feel peaceful about doing what he wants you to do. And there was silence. They made the wrong decision. They realized that later on, and praise the Lord, they got their marriage back together and are doing good. Make sure you got peace in your soul, your most inner being of what God wants you. I have kind of a motto, if I don't feel peace with God, if I have doubt, I throw it out. If I have doubt, I throw it out. If I'm not at peace in my soul and I'm not at peace with God, I throw out that thoughts of what direction I'm going or what decision that I'm making. I want to ask you if you would just join me in just a moment. I want to remind you what the end of this, the Lord said, they replied, no, that's not the road we want. My prayer is that nobody in here today is about to make a decision that is going to be a bad decision because they've said, no, that's not what I want for my life right now. But I hope that you're willing to just stop, examine where you're at, carefully consider the options that God has laid out there, and then take the path that brings peace to your soul.